Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Today's episode was first aired on 11th June 2015 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and we are now in the second week of June. And the most happening thing now is the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. Isn't it significant that Swami always had the summer course even before the academic secular courses started? And thereby, perhaps Bhagwan was sending a very clear message. He was telling us what comes first. He was telling us what should get priority. He was telling us what is the focus and direction of this university and this system of education. So today I thought it might be appropriate to spend a little time going back to the days of the summer course, going back to the 70s. And reflecting on some beautiful incidents that happened there and the message that Bhagwan gave when the summer course started in the 72, 76, 79. You had those glorious days of the initial years of the summer course, and then it continued. The tradition was always there, except that it was modified with changing times. So today we'll spend some time dwelling on the summer course, which is such an integral part of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. And then the second half, we will move on to the discussion that we had last time on the Sai Pancharatna Kritis, those beautiful compositions specially done on Bhagwan in the classical Carnatic style.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And today, as I just mentioned, we spent some time on the beautiful, splendid summer courses that Bhagwan started way back in the 1972. In fact, in the early years of the summer course, at that time, the university, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, had not come into being. Bhagwan had students from all over India. He selected them through a test and they came to Vrindavan and stayed for a month. In the initial years, it was not always in Vrindavan. It has happened in Ooty. It has happened largely in Vrindavan. And at that time, it was one program where Bhagwan was again drawing and channelizing the invaluable youth energy of this country. In fact, there are many senior devotees who recall their days of being a student of summer course. I remember talking to Mr. Sood, who is the architect of Swami's hospital in Bangalore, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. And he shared how his journey to Bhagwan was so much tied with the summer course way back in the 70s. I was talking to Mr. Raman Rao, who is still here in Prashantinilam. He's more than 90 years now, but he's someone who is one of the first Sevadal that Bhagwan appointed. The Sevadal movement, he has grown with the Sevadal movement, and he was someone whom Bhagwan picked to serve as a volunteer during the first summer course, which happened for one whole month in 1972. And he recalls how there were 20 Sevadals from Hyderabad who had the opportunity to organize and supervise the dining sessions. and how Swami used to pay surprise visits to their dwelling place and sometimes just happily settle himself on a suitcase and inquire about the well-being of all the volunteers. And on the day of their departure, not 30 days of hard work, Swami would present them with shirt and pant cloth pieces plus stitching charges. One year he gave them woolen shawls. This is to happen in the Vrindavan campus. At that time there was no Trai Vrindavan, there was an old bungalow, and between the old bungalow, in front of the old bungalow, there was some space, and little further away from the old bungalow was an outhouse. So the space between the old bungalow and the outhouse was used for dining sessions and for all the sessions of Bhagwan's discourses, cultural programs and everything. So all the volunteers had a lot of work to do because it was the same venue that was used for everything. So they had to be always on the toes, organizing, cleaning the place and making the place immediately suitable for one session after another. And at the end of it, Bhagwan, of course, blessed them so profusely. This is what happened in 1972, what Mr. Raman Rao recalls. But in 1976, it was a different story for the Sevadals. In 1976, the summer course was held in Ooty, Ootakamand, in Tamil Nadu. And it was now for 15 days, from 20th of May till June 4th. And it was held in Bhagwan's residence in Ooty called Nandanavanam. And there was an outhouse again, and it is in this outhouse where Sevadals lived. And at that time there were just 8 of them, and the summer course in Ooty also was restricted to only 150 because the building there could accommodate only so many. So there were 8 Sevadals, and of them 5 were from Hyderabad. One interesting happened in that 1976 summer course. One day Swami asked a student, Mr. Nityanand, to speak. And Brother Nityanand gave a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita. And in the course of his talk, he mentioned how in the name of Gita lectures, some scholars abroad collect money. And he said that they were actually selling their Gita lectures like hamburgers. That evening's chief guest was Sri Chinmayananda of the Chinmayananda Mission. And Mr. Chinmayananda also spoke on the Bhagavad Gita. And in his talk, Sri Chinmayananda sharply reacted to the comment of Mr. Nityanand with a sharp rejoinder. And he said that apparently Swami Vivekananda established the tradition of accepting money, accepting dollars as gifts for delivering Gita lectures. And then he said, if only we too had support of someone like Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba as you people have, then we would not have been subjected to this type of criticism. So he was very upset that Mr. Nityanand mentioned that people elsewhere speak about Gita and then collect money, but here was Mr. Chinmayanand, Sri Chinmayanandji, who was very upset about it, because he said that he felt it is okay because they have to run their institutions. And after he spoke, Sri Chinmayanandji sat beside Bhagwan. He was a chief guest. And now, Swami called Brother Nityanand and he asked him to apologize to Chinmayanandji for the derogatory remarks that he made in his talk. And when Bhagwan mentioned this, immediately Brother Nityanand fell at the feet of Sri Chinmayanandji and he begged for pardon. And the spontaneity with which Brother Nityananda fell at the Swamiji's feet, he was so moved, Chinmayanandaji got up and he hugged Brother Nityananda. And then, noticing this, Swami asked Chinmayanandaji, do you know who this youngster is? He said, no, Swami. And even as Bhagwan was talking to him about this little boy, suddenly the mother of Nityanand came from behind the ladies and she now reverentially bowed down to Chinmayanandji. And then noticing this, Swami said, 20 years back when you were at Kottayam during a Gita Yajna, you performed the Aksharabhyasam for a boy when you are staying in this lady's house. And do you know who that boy is? This is that boy. Chinmayanandaji was absolutely taken aback. He remembered how many years ago he was in Kottayam and he stayed in a lady's house, and then when he looked at Nityanand's mother, and immediately he said, "Oh madam, I didn't know, is this your son?" So it was an amazing way Bhagwan was bringing such a beautiful old memory in such a dramatic manner. And then Bhagwan said to Chinmayanandaji, "I asked him to speak in your presence just to enable you to see to what level that tiny tot whom you initiated 2 decades ago has grown, how he has blossomed." Sri Chinmayanandaji was speechless. He was just moved. He, with tears in his eyes, he bowed down to Bhagwan and fell at his feet. Nityanand's brother was now at the feet of the Sadguru. And here Bhagwan was demonstrating what happens when one is touched by the Sadguru. Once one steps into the portals of this modern Gurukul, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, no life is same again. Whether the student stays back, whether the student is in the organization, whether the student is in India, whether the student is part of any project of the Sai family or not, he will never be the same again. He will always be different because he is touched and groomed and watched by the Sadguru. While on this topic of samukhas, let me go back to Mr. Raman Rao and share another very beautiful incident. Again, this happened during samukhas, and I'm sharing this because it has a very profound lesson. It has happened during the 1976 summer course. I mentioned to you how at the end of the summer course in 1972, Swami blessed all the Sevadals with Padnamaskaram and clothes and shawls and all that. In 1976, the story was slightly different. Bhagwan, for all the 15 days of the summer course, did not look at or talk to any of the Sevadals. Here too, they were very busy organizing all the dining sessions and everything. And on the night preceding the morning for return journey, Sri Sudarshan, who was then the warden, he announced in the dining hall, "Tomorrow the breakfast will be at 7 a.m. And by 8 a.m. there will be a photo session on the hill with Swami, and it will be class-wise." So he said all the students should load their baggages in their respective buses by 6:30 a.m. and be ready. So all the buses were to leave by 8:15 a.m. And as was announced, all the boys had their breakfast early and they gathered on the hill, which was about 100 yards away. And when Swami was getting down the staircase from his room, all the Sevadals, now they stood at a distance, they were facing Swami, but Swami just did not look at them. It is the last morning, all these days, 15 days they have been serving, and Swami had not spoken to them, had not come near them, and now this is the session where Swami is going to give pictures to all the boys, and now they thought, at least if only he can look at us, you know, maybe we will have a memory to carry with us. But Swami just did not. Or rather, he saw through them and he walked straight onto the hill where the students were standing. So with great disappointment, all these Sevadals, 8 of them, they went to the kitchen. And here, as if this sorrow was not enough, the workers in the kitchen now had cleared all the vessels. In fact, the Sevadas had not had their breakfast because they thought they will first catch Swami, try to get his attention. And when they thought at least they can have their breakfast and then leave, the workers had cleaned all the vessels and they had actually handed over the vessels to the caretaker. They thought everything is over. When the Sevadals, eight of them, they came to Uti, five of them traveled in one car and the three others traveled in another car. So now, with deep sorrow in their hearts, it was like a rock, a mountain sitting on the heart. With that sorrow, they were just keeping now their luggage in their respective cars to commence the return journey with great sadness. And just when they were about to start, they heard someone clapping and calling out to them. It was a student and he said, "Please go to the hill. Swami is waiting for you there. Please go to the hill." And they ran. Bhagwan was finally calling them. And when they went there, Bhagwan joked and said, "Hey, don't put on castrol faces." This is how Bhagwan used to say whenever he would never like boys or anyone to keep a sad face, and he would say, "Don't make castrol face." And here now all the Sevadals who were very sad that, you know, Bhagwan had not spoken to them, so they were in that morose mood. Swami said, "Hey, put on a smile, don't put on castrol faces." And then he posed with all of them, all eight of them, with lovely pictures. And he took one picture specially solo with Mr. Raman Rao. And then after he had made them happy, Swami briskly walked away, the young Swami, physically. And now the VIP guests' cars also followed the students' buses. And as Bhagwan was leaving, Swami told Mr. Raman Rao, "Let your two cars also follow my car. Follow behind my car." So they did as Bhagwan had instructed, and Swami stopped his car on the way, and then Swami directed the student buses and the VIP cars to go to Vrindavan. And Swami moved from there to Bandipur Forest Guest House. And there, once Bhagwan alighted, all the Sevadals too were welcomed in the guest house. They were just following behind Swami into the hall there, made ready for Bhagwan. Swami retired to his room, and immediately all these Sevadals, in 5 minutes, they freshened up, and then Swami came out. He entered the dining hall, and then he called all eight of them, and there was a silver dining set arranged in front of Swami, and there were plates for all of them. And now there were four of them on each side of Bhagwan. And in that guest house, two butler in uniform, they bowed down at the feet of Swami, and then they started serving. And Bhagwan, now when he looked at all these eight Sevadals who were sitting on either side of him, Bhagwan now smiled and said, "Poor fellows, you all felt miserable that Swami did not even look at you. He did not even talk to you. That he did not give you parnamskaram for all these 2 weeks, isn't it? You did not even have breakfast that morning, I know. They all enjoyed. You didn't enjoy." And then Swami said, "That is why now you get end joy." In the end, joy was theirs, because Swami called them specially to the Bandipur Forest guest house, and he was treating them in a very, very special manner. All the boys and all the VIPs had gone all these days for 2 weeks. They were among the students and VIPs, but now they were having their exclusive time with Bhagwan, where Bhagwan was just filling them with love. If you have done anything, anytime for Bhagwan, if you have ever thought that if you have sacrificed anything for Bhagwan, it is a misnomer. You can never ever sacrifice anything for him. Because Even if we do a little, He knows. And He is overwhelmed. And He will overwhelm us because we have done a little for Him. That is His love. That is His compassion. And that is one beautiful lesson from the summer course of 1976. There are plenty like this. The summer course is filled with such beautiful lessons for the students. I remember talking to so many students for Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memory series, and everywhere, every occasion, you find how once touched by Bhagwan, a student's life has never been the same again. In the summer course is when their eyes open, their doors open to what is Bhagwan. Especially for those who are new to Swami and new to the educational institutions. I know of so many students who did not know anything about Swami, but that one darshan in summer course changed their life. That one interaction in summer course changed their perspective of life. That one instance of His divinity that they saw forever made them different. And today, we move on now to immerse ourselves in this glory, in this beautiful bond of love that exists between students and Bhagwan. It starts with the summer course in Bhagwan's schools and colleges. And we'll do it through music. In the previous two episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, we were deliberating on the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. And the Sai Pancharatna Kritis, as we discussed before, they are compositions in classical Carnatic style on Bhagwan, and it was presented first on April 24, 2015. And we have been spending time just dwelling on these beautiful compositions, amazing lyrics, breathtaking thoughts expressed, how Bhagwan has made this happen. So today we'll go on and we'll dwell on the third kriti. And interestingly, this kriti is on the relationship that exists between students and Bhagwan. It is about that story that begins in the Institute of Higher Learning with the summer course. So let's move on to this discussion on the Sai Pancharatna Kritis with Brother Sai Prakash Anirudh and Sister Vasumati.
So with that, I think we can move on to the third kriti of the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. And the third kriti is Charana Sevanam Parama Pavanam. It's tuned in the Ragam Arabi. And it's a very, very beautiful ragam because it's very happy and very bubbly and joyous and, you know, fills the heart with such joy, such immense joy.
Really, people can appreciate the transition from the Mayamala Gola,
yes,
to Sadabhavayami, to this kriti of...
That was very meditative.
Yeah. That is meditative, and because that raga was apt for that theme.
Yes.
Because it was divine aspect of Swami.
Yes.
Now,
sublime and
here,
serene.
This kriti focuses on the human aspect of Swami.
Hmm.
So the human aspect of Swami is all bright and glorious, and He's there with us and
yes,
throwing chocolates at us and then giving namaskar, pinching somebody's cheek, pulling somebody. So it's full of life, it's full of beauty, and again, the right raga has chosen the right kriti in Sir's words, but it's a very beautiful composition, and we would request Anirudh and Vasumati to sing the Pallavi and Anupallavi, just to get a feel for the kriti.
And before that, Anirudh can probably tell us a little more about this ragam.
Yeah, it would be really nice if we just get an outline of how this raga progresses.
Sari ma pa da sa sa ni da pa ma ga re sa. Sari ma pa da re sa re da. Sari ma ma re sari pa ma re sa ni da pa ma pa ma.
Nice. So let's see how these notes were incorporated into this beautiful tune that made this song a kriti. To put it differently, it's just these notes that have been magically interwoven to make the tune that we are just about to hear. Let's hear the Pallavi and Anupallavi of this kriti.
चरण सेवनम परम पावनम चरण सेवनम परम पावनम मधुरम मधुरम साहिरोपनामम चरण सेवनम परम पावनम मधुरम मधुरम साई रूपनामं चरण सेवनम परम पावनम मधुरम मधुरम साई रूपनामं चरण सेवनम परम पावनम. I should have noticed the different magical phrases of Madhuram coming into picture in this kriti, like different varieties of Madhuram is the first thing which strikes me when I hear this.
Exactly.
When I heard the track.
How Madhuram is the Madhuram.
Yeah. So beautifully
and
composed.
So many flavors of the Madhuram.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, strawberry flavor, raspberry flavor. It's really very, very beautiful.
Yeah. Each variation is like, which is more beautiful, much more beautiful.
Exactly. That's how it is. It's always in the increasing order.
Yeah.
You say, you think you had it all, now you wait for the next one. It's really very beautiful. And that's how the first line, that's the Pallavi. And maybe you can sing the Anupallavi also.
Hari Shad Varga Varadam Hari Shad Varga Haranam Hari Shad Varga Varadam Apar Jana Parivartana Daksham Charana Sevanam Parama Pavanam मधुरम मधुरम साई रूपनामं चरण सेवनम परम पावनम.
The most striking part of this Anupallavi, that Aparajana, the way it is tuned, is so amazing. Reaching out to the multitudes. Reaching out somewhere. Aparajana means far off. Aparajana. So it just reaches out to the multitudes. So the Charana Sevanam Paramapavanam, it starts, the meaning is, serving the lotus feet is the most auspicious. Sai's name and form are the most nectarous and sweet. Because for us, when we see Swami and when we had his darshan, his darshan was his immediate expression of his love for us. And we related to his form, we related to him when he gave his darshan. And charana sevanam.
Yes.
The pada namaskar that we got. So when we are talking of the human aspect of Bhagawan, that touching those lotus feet was such an experience.
Highest blessing.
Highest blessing. Charana Sevanam. So that's how it started with Charana Sevanam.
To render this Kriti in Swami's presence was a great experience actually. When we had to sit there and sing that, all those experiences that we had, how Swami used to come for darshan and how he blessed all of us, that was going on coming in front of us actually. Mm. It was a beautiful experience to sing for me particularly this particular charanam. When you say Madhuram Madhuram Sai Rupa Namam, no?
Yes.
Yeah.
What all various expressions of Bhagwan that kept coming actually.
I mean, this Kriti, if you see, this first two lines so beautifully bring out the aspect of darshan. Like when he is coming for darshan, as he is coming for darshan, what he does. Hmm. And then how does he interact? Charana Sevanam, people taking namaskar, Parama Pavanam, Madhuram Madhuram. I mean, every moment of his mudras are Madhuram, his smile is Madhuram, when he frowns it is Madhuram, when he tells somebody, hey, kucho, dunna pota, your mind's eye just comes back to you, flooding back to you. Charana Sevanam.
Then I'm just imagining this Kriti being rendered in mandolin, U. Srinivas sir. I'm just imagining with that background music, Swami is coming for the darshan.
Oh, wow. Yeah, how beautiful it would be. How beautiful, amazing.
Actually, the original Pancharatna Kritis were what Saint Tyagaraja experienced Lord Rama. Isn't it? When we sing that, I do not know if I as an individual would be able to rise to that level and experience the same form of bhakti and render that. Correct. But when I sang this particular Kriti, I could visualize.
Exactly.
So I could relate to this particular Kriti very nicely because we knew how Swami was when he came how he smiled
at us. Tyagaraja only... He also has to sort of imagine what we have actually seen.
Then double imagination, this is what Tyagaraja imagined of Lord Rama. Means that's far-fetched for me.
We don't have to imagine, we have to only relive.
Exactly.
So I'm sure everybody sitting in Kulwant Hall, who sat in Kulwant Hall that day, no, they would have experienced that. When we
they
sang
would
this
have relived this, those moments. They would have relived those moments. And the Anupallavi is also very beautiful. Here she has said, Arishad Varga Haranam, Harishad Varga Varadam, Aparajana Parivartana Daksham. Now, Arishad Varga we know is Kama Krodha Lobha Moha Madha Matsarya. That is the six vices.
Yes.
But here she says Harishad Varga. Harishad Varga Varadam. That is, you have to develop six qualities which are dear to the Lord.
Yes.
So, apart from the five human values,
that's what Varadam means. He is the one who is blessing us with that boon.
Yeah, boon, and then
he's taking away haranam, he's taking away our vices, and he's blessing us with those boon of satya.
Yeah, we have to develop those. We have to develop those six good virtues. So, satya, dharma, shanti, prema, ahimsa, and tyagam.
Tyagam, yes.
So, these are the Harishad Varga. Harishad Varga is the six vices which you have to give up. Harishad Varga is six qualities which Hari likes, and which Swami likes. And Aparajana Parivartana Daksham. See, this is another very, very unique aspect of Sai Avatar. Multitudes of people. He has touched multitudes of people. Yes. In which other avatar it has happened?
When the avatar was there in the physical form itself, you had millions who believed in
it. Exactly, that's the point. And you can just close your eyes and then imagine darshan, when Swami is giving darshan. Or you can imagine the Hillview Stadium jam-packed, full of people.
Yes.
I mean, Aparajana. And this line, Aparajana, the way it's composed, is so beautiful. You know, it's almost as if the last man in the hall will listen to Aparajana.
It includes him also.
It includes him also. It's reaching out till there. Very beautiful.
And the other very nice thing is, you know, here, the way she's written, she said, he is the one who is removing the Arishad Varga and granting us Harishad Varga. And then the next line says that he is the one who is transforming us. So basically, she has explained the process of the transformation.
Correct.
How the avatar transforms and touches is by removing the six vices and giving us these virtues of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema,
that's
and
right.
Tyaga.
That's right.
Very nice.
So that's
definitely, I mean, you just cannot think that it has to be divinely inspired.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is the Pallavi and Anupallavi. Then there is the refrain line that comes. That's also very beautiful. Karunya Lavanya Kamaniya Gatram.
Wow.
So, it's a very unique aspect of Bhagwan that she has picked here for the refrain line. Because, yes, his voice was so melodious, so mellifluous, so sweet. Now, so tender, she says, the one whose enchanting voice is full of compassion and charm. Okay, Karunya Lavanya. His voice itself has got that compassion. His voice itself has got that sweetness. So this is the line that will keep coming after each charanam. And it's a very beautiful aspect, because when Swami speaks to you, what do we remember most? He spoke to me. He told me this. You know, the sweetness in his voice. So that
was
so central.
Word is such a sacred thing.
Yeah.
The Bible says the word became God.
Exactly.
Mm. And word is Shabda Brahma Vai, Swami
should say. Exactly. That's the first form
of
God.
Thing, yes.
And his voice and his word is so sweet. His discourses, everything. So that becomes a central point. That becomes a central...
When you look at the human side of the avatar.
Exactly.
You're discussing about the human side of the avatar.
Yeah.
And so the first thing, as Swami used to say, is for a human is, you know, you should know how to be loving.
Yes.
Through your speech.
Correct.
And that is the first thing that defines a person's character, is if you can really speak lovingly.
Yes. So that's how this song starts. Then there are many charanams in this. I think there are about 7 charanams in this kriti. And the first one says, Akanda Vibhuti Vaibhava Sundaram. It says, so many leelas and your vaibhavam, that, you know, your leelas and mahimas are infinite. So many are there. So, endless, endless glory and grandeur. Then, the second one is, Satyam Shivam Sundaram Manavata Moolya Sambaritam. The one who is embodiment of truth, auspiciousness and beauty, and repository of all human values. Now this is a very beautiful point, because it's easy to sit on a platform and teach, but when you are actually living your message, that is the thing that really touches us. You know, everything that Swami did was with love. He lived his message. His life is his message. That's what he conveyed, but his life itself showed.
Yes.
Satyam Shivam Sundaram, that is truth, auspiciousness and beauty. I mean, Satya Sai Baba is truth and auspiciousness. How auspicious every moment of his,
yes,
in his presence, how auspicious and how beautiful. So that is Satyam Shivam Sundaram.
It's really very apt, you know, when Bhagwan's biography was written,
mm-hmm,
and Professor Kasturi was, you know, suggesting so many names.
Mm.
Karunya Gatha, I don't know, there are so many names, you know,
okay,
that Professor Kasturi suggested. But
mm-hmm,
Swami picked this,
mm,
Satyam Shivam Sundaram, because he felt this is what aptly describes his life.
Very beautiful.
Truth, goodness and beauty.
Yes.
And you know, so in that one line, she has actually encapsulated the Manavata Mulya Sambaritam. She has encapsulated what the human aspect of Bhagwan is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
As a human, he was full of truth, full of beauty and full of goodness.
Yeah. So that is Charanam 2. And then we go to the Charanam 3. That is, very beautifully she says, Vinaya Basura Mrudu Subhashana Sahana Sheela Tyagamaya Rupa. So what it is, the one who is radiant with humility, sweet in speech and forbearing by nature, has sacrificed as his form. So it is Vinaya Basura. You know that humility, in fact, I'm just trying to remember, as he is coming out from his room for darshan, you know, those days when Swami was actually walking for darshan, the way he just looks down with his hand raised in a mudra, so beautiful, it almost, you know, feels it's like an embodiment of humility, you know. It gives that whole gesture of him looking down at the sand and then waving his hand and then coming for darshan. I don't know. That to me was so beautiful, and it showed him as an embodiment of humility.
Humility, grace and majesty. Everything was there.
Everything. Everything as a part. I mean, humility you can say is a human virtue. But he was an embodiment of humility.
Yes.
And you know, another aspect which really is striking. Here is somebody who's just given a discourse, spoken about the highest spiritual truths. Atman, Paramatman, so many things. And then when he just comes down from the platform, he's one amongst us.
Yes. And the most amazing thing is, he would ask, many times in the end of the discourse, he would say, I'm sorry if I troubled you, you know,
you're
people say, just, if you get 1 second from me also is a blessing, you're given us 1 hour.
Mm.
And you know, he has that humility to tell that, I'm sorry if I troubled you. I mean, what are we?
One step higher humility is, he will come and ask people, how was the discourse?
Was it good? Oh my.
And then there are the few chosen ones who get to actually say, Swami, yes, Swami, it was quite good. And it was very nice. This point was, oh, you liked it?
It's not easy for someone.
Was it too long?
Was it too long?
Was it too short? Who is the repository of everything for him to say, you know, I'm sorry, I troubled you. What is that?
This is such a beautiful charanam, Vinaya Basura.
She's very beautifully elaborated, you know. She has that refrain of Karunya Lavanya Kaminiya Gatram.
Yes.
That is what she's elaborated.
Exactly. Nice. I think we should just listen to this charanam.
Yeah, yeah.
Rendered.
Re sari pa ma ga re da pa da re sa ni ra re sari ma ga re sa ni da pa ma ga re ma ka runya lavanya kamaniya gatram vinaya bhasura mrudu subhashana sahana shila tyagamaya roopa karunya lavanya kamaniya gatram.
So that is one more beautiful aspect of his human form, humility and sacrifice. So that is what was brought out in Charanam 3. Now Charanam 4 takes on a very, very different aspect and a very important aspect. Pancha Bhutadhara Sarva Jivanadhara Sarva Vyapaka Sarva Shakti Maya Sarvajna. See, it is actually a divine quality if you look at it.
Yes.
But he manifested it in his human form.
Yes.
The power of omnipotence, omnipresence and omniscience. Then he says, Pancha Bhutadhara Sarva Jivanadhara. You are the basis of the Pancha Bhutas.
Yes.
That famous incident of Swami saying
yeah.
that I don't depend on the Pancha Bhutas, they depend on me.
Yes.
So you are the basis.
Yes.
You are the basis of the Pancha Bhutas. So Pancha Bhutadhara Sarva Jivanadhara and the basis of all forms of life. Sarva Vyapaka, omnipresent. Sarva Shakti Maya, omniscient. Sarvajna, all knowing. So this aspect, I mean, this one line you can go on for a whole session.
<I know. laughs>
if you start elaborating yes. on this, there are only 3,465 books written on Swami, or I don't know how many, but every
there's no
book,
count.
Yeah, I mean,
now.
So many beautiful experiences and incidents, how Swami shows.
And the beautiful thing is, you know, it continues even now.
There is no end, there is no beginning. Adi Antyamu Leni, we sang in the previous Kriti.
No, because, see, okay, sometimes I used to think, you know, all those people who have had amazing experience with Swami, okay, now they're writing books, you know, and every other day you find a new book. Because, correct. You know, there's so many people whom Swami has touched in such myriad ways.
Correct.
But there are people who came to Swami just in 2010, 2011 or in 2012. they were writing books now.
In fact, to stretch it a little bit further, the way these Kritis have come up themselves, for those who have heard our previous episodes on
yes.
how and what yes. all we
yeah,
went
it's
through.
It's part of that.
It's a part
process.
Of the whole thing.
Whole
it's
process.
Just say, I am doing, I am there.
Yes.
So then this next one is also a beautiful theme because she says that whatever you did, you taught spiritual, gave spiritual knowledge, then it is Bhakta Saka Chittakasa Jnana Bhaskara.
Wow.
She says, he is the dearest friend of his devotees and who is the effulgent knowledge in their minds.
Oh.
See, he is the one giving knowledge, he is the knowledge, he is everything. But the most important aspect of this charanam is, Vatsalyadi Gunojwala Sai Sadaya. She says, yes, you did all this. You gave knowledge, you gave Adhyatmika Sutratraya, you taught everything. But with what? With love. Vatsalyadi, it's the love of a mother. And Swami would say love of a thousand mothers.
Mm.
It was nice to quote, but it's really something which we cannot comprehend.
Yes.
Which we cannot comprehend. The love of a thousand mothers. He says, you people have not understood even one mother's love. How will you comprehend a thousand mothers' love? So with that love, Swami shared this knowledge. It's not knowledge shared for sake of sharing. It's with love. Knowledge shared with love. So that aspect has been brought out here. Then the next charanam, again, this is another charanam which we can really relate to. It says, Mata Pita Guru Devamu Mari Sakudavu Ni Vainavu. You became our mother, father, guru and friend. Then, Pura Janma Paramparagata Moksha Dayaka Punya Phalam. Bhaktaliki Paramanidanam Amulya Muldanam. She says, you have become our mother, father, preceptor, friend and God. You are that good fortune that can liberate us from all our past actions and lineage. You are the supreme spiritual home and the invaluable treasure for devotees.
And this is what he was in at a human level to every devotee.
That's right. Mother, I mean, your father. Every goal, your every ambition, he was there. You want to purify your life? Come to me. You want to look at him as a mother? How many Devi Sai Ma bhajans are there? And how many, you know, Swamis, your mother, father, guru,
friend.
In every role he has, for those who had the good fortune of having physical proximity with Swami, especially students, you know, he was just a friend to them. Such a loving friend. At the same time, a guru.
Yes.
So, such an unimaginable mixture of all the roles. And then we come to the final charanam in this kriti. And it is a very, very comprehensive and beautiful charanam. And as explained earlier, it is the longest in this kriti.
Oh, okay.
And possibly the most complex charanam in this kriti.
Mm-hmm.
So, holding our breaths, now we request. Now,
even though there are only 7 charanams, but the last one is actually so huge.
The last one is quite big.
Yeah.
And with good reason, because it brings out such beautiful aspects, which kind of summarizes the entire kriti. The theme of the entire kriti is summarized in this last charanam. So we request our dear Anirudh and Vasumati Akka to sing this last charanam. Let's enjoy before we discuss.
Sanida padari sari sanida pamagari ma padama pamagari sanidari ri sa sa viri dada pamagari sanidari magari sari pamapa pamagari sari da pada ma pada sanida sa ri sanidari sari rida sari pamagari sari magari sanidari sa पद सनिद सनिद प मगरी प ददरी रि स रि दद प मगरी म पद सरि प मगरि सनिद प मगरि सरि रि म म ददरि रि मगरि सनिद प म करुण्य लावण्य कमनीय गात्रम् अनिमिषुलकी सुजनेयं पग अन्ते वासुलदर्शन वेला परि परि नटनल चूपुचु कुशलमुलडुगुचु लेखल चेक्कुनुचु अभयमुसगुचु ना हक्कु मीरनुचु मीवाडने ननुचु सत्कीर्ति नुल्दग संत सिंतु नटंचु सर्वमु तानीये ब्रतुकु बाटनु पूदोटग चेसिन हृदय वृंदावन वनमाली कारुण्य लावण्य कमनीय दातं.
Oh God, it's very, very complicated.
Hats off. Such a beautiful tune, such a complicated tune, such a beautiful charanam.
To compose these many charanams without having any repetition in the phrases.
Yes.
And each charanam will have it gives a new flavor of Arabhi with different swara patterns, different endings, and it's just amazing. Unbelievable composition. It's humanly, it's just impossible to compose 5 kritis of like 8 charanams.
Yes.
Having each charanam without having any repetition of that swara pattern.
Yeah, without repetition, and each charanam is so beautiful, so unique.
Yeah, so
unique.
And
as he's saying, you know, exploring all the facets of the raga.
Yeah.
In different.
That's charanam. Right.
And this is as breathtaking as the darshan itself. This last charanam.
Exactly. I mean, this one charanam is so beautiful. It says, Animishala kesa janayimpa antevasala darshana vela. So what it means is that when you are giving darshan to your students, when you walk antevasula means those who have stayed back with you, like in the Gurukulam days,
yes.
Students would stay back with the guru. So when you are giving darshan to them, definitely the devas are feeling jealous looking at what's happening. Because the way you are spending time with them, the way you are moving around with them, how are you spending your time? What are you doing? So the next line says, Pari pari natanala chupuchu. So you go and then you show various divine actions of yours, like you materialize vibhuti, you do this, and you pat them on the cheek, you chide them, you encourage somebody. You know, so many things he would do when he is amongst his students, and even devotees for that matter, but more when he is amongst his students. Abhayam osagochu means you would give them your abhayam, means your protection. And the next line is very beautiful. Nahakku meeranuchu. You would tell them that you are my right.
Yes.
I have right over you. Nahakku. I have that right over you. I mean, that's the highest form of, you know, owning somebody. Owning somebody. He would come and tell us, actually this particular phrase, as I mentioned earlier, came from that beautiful incident at Kodaikanal. You remember, I think we were also there in the year 1999.
Yes.
And one of those days, Swami was quote unquote upset with the boys. And he was really bringing it out on all of us. And we were wondering, Swami, is it such a big sin that you have to chide us so severely? And so we were kind of lost for a while. But in the afternoon when he came out, he said these words. And I can never forget it in my life. Because he says, do you think I'll go to the road and shout at anybody? Do you think I'll go to the road, stand there and shout at people around? No. I come here and I shout at you all, I chide you, I want to correct you because I feel that right over you. I feel you are my own. Na hakku. Mi paina hakku undira. Means I have that right over you. So he says, you give them abhayam, but then you tell them, na hakku meeranuchu, you are my right.
Yes.
And then, meevaadu nenanuchu, you tell them that I am yours.
Yes.
First of all, you give them the blessing, then you tell them you are my right, then you tell I am yours. How beautiful it is. Then he says, yes, all this is fine, but then what he wants from the students is nothing. Satkirti, you get a good name for yourself.
Yes.
And be happy. See, he has given himself, he has become everything for the students. He has become everything for them. And then he says, I want nothing from you. All I want is get a good name for yourselves. That's all I want.
Yeah, we have heard that any number of times.
How many times we have heard? Then he says, in fact, the whole thing is, kushalam aduguchu, lekana chekkunuchu. See, that is, you ask them about their welfare, then you take their letters, then you give them the abhayam, then you say, nahakku meeranuchu, then you go to I am yours.
Yes.
Meevaadu nenanuchu. You tell them that I am yours. And then you say, I don't want anything for all this. You just get a good name for yourselves.
Yes.
That's all I want. Then she concludes this whole thing very beautifully with the line. He says, you are the gardener of our hearts who has transformed our path of life into a flowery garden. See, it's like a garden. And you know, it's really like a sunflower garden because as the sun moves amongst the students, the bright faces keep changing in the direction of the sun. How beautiful it is. The simile is very beautiful and apt here because you can just visualize that veranda where Swami is standing in the middle, that orange flame and all the white clothed students sitting around him. As he is moving around, everybody turning to face him. You know, that whole scene comes alive in the mind's eye. And this particular charanam is so comprehensive and the way it has been tuned is itself so unique.
He's talking about the human aspect of Swami, and you know, I think the community that had the opportunity to see the human aspect of Swami in all its facets is the student community.
Exactly.
So, and I think that is why the whole last charanam is so much focused on that aspect of Bhagwan's relationship.
You know, the way it is composed, kushala maduguchu. Then next level, lekana chekkunuchu. In the composition, you see it ascending. It's building up.
Mm.
Okay, fine. You asked, how are you? But then it also takes your letter. Then he gives you abhaya.
Yes.
It goes one step higher. Then he says, you are my right. Then he says, I am yours. You know, it actually builds up.
Mm.
It actually builds up. If you analyze the composition, very beautiful.
Mm.
We should hear it, I think, 3-4 times to appreciate the
Actually, we've heard it 100 times to learn it. Not 3-4 times.
Exactly. You must have heard it 100 times to learn. Mm-hmm. But even to understand and appreciate the beauty, we need to hear it multiple times. Because it's so comprehensive. It's so comprehensive. Of course, this beautiful Kriti ends with this Charanam, and there's again one paragraph that comes at the end. Swami, what can we do for you? You have given everything for us. You are everything for us. You are everything for us, he says. Our body is yours. Our thoughts are yours. The form which is shining in our hearts is yours. We reverentially offer our lives as a garland of fragrant flowers with the nectar of love at your lotus feet. So it's just an offering of gratitude.
I think this whole last charanam is a very beautiful summary of the relationship between Swami and students.
Exactly.
That's what it is. Because, you know, that's how, you know, Swami would give them the opportunity and then he would correct them. And then ultimately, you know, all the students, all they can say, Swami, everything of ours is yours. You know?
Everything is yours. Everything and that yours. Offering of gratitude.
Gratitude.
This Kriti really ends with this feeling of immense gratitude we have for Bhagawan, for just being everything of ours.
Wow.
Dear listeners, that brings us to an end the discussion on the Sai Pancharatna Kritis for this Thursday. We have discussed till now three Kritis, and there are two more Kritis, Kali Yuga Avatari and Satya Sai Avatara, which I'll play for you in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. It's very interesting that today in the initial part of this program, we had some discussion about summer course and the relationship that Swami has with students, and incidentally, the Kriti that we had also happened to be that which discusses this relationship. I had not planned it that way, it just panned out that way. It is all His will. Yet again, in subtle ways, silent way, Swami is letting us know who is in charge of every thought of ours, who is in charge of every act of ours, who is in charge of every aspect of our life. Let us offer ourselves at the lotus feet of this beautiful Lord and pray that every moment of our lives gets sanctified with His love, with His presence, that we do everything as per His direction, that our lives move as per His will, so that one day there is no difference between our will and His will, and there is only one will, the Omni will, the only will. So dear listeners, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and on behalf of all my colleagues, We thank you for being with us all throughout the day. We offer a deep sense of gratitude to Swami for having given us this invaluable opportunity to swim in His love and share that love. Keep immersing yourself in His love and let's sanctify our lives so that one day our lives becomes one with Sai. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
You were listening to an episode of our program Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. This episode was first aired on 11th June 2015 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.